Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Well, what does a father do if he's separated from his son? And what does it mean when sexuality, race, or ethnic background plays a role as well? Well, the challenging new film In the Family tackles these topical issues in a new formalistic manner, combining striking film style with pertinent topics. And I'm very pleased to have with me in the studio today director-writer Patrick Wang and co-star Sebastian Baines. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, thank you for having us.
And hi, Sebastian.
Hi.
Do you want to be called Sebastian or Seb or?
No, anything you want.
Anything's okay. Okay. Well, let's start by talking about the story. When the movie starts, it's a very happy family with Chip. That's your role, right, Sebastian?
Yep.
Very close to both his dads. And it seems like Joey's very integrated into Cody, his partner's family. So what happens then?
Well, it is a tragedy strikes his family. And Cody, who is the biological father, passes away. And in the 6 years they were together and raising this great kid, they had never talked about issues like a will and what happens when one partner dies. And so custody goes, as is specified in an old will, to Cody's sister. And Chip is taken away from Joey. And the rest of the film is about him trying to find a way back into his kid's life.
Right. So the first hint of this, I thought, was when they're in the hospital and his lover is in an accident.
Yeah.
And yet Chip is allowed to see him in the emergency room, but Joey is not.
Right.
So why is that? What does that mean?
Well, there are a number of rules that, you know, do restrict visitation at certain times or in certain situations to family. And then sometimes there may not be these hard and fast restrictions about family visiting, but, you know, the rules are never quite clear. And the idea of who is allowed to come and who is close to this person is sometimes in this questionable place. And so when you see somebody come in, Joey is of a different race, you know, and it is these two dads raising this kid. And so it's a lot of unfamiliar territory for certain people. And so he is not allowed to go in because he doesn't look like he belongs in this family. But you're not quite sure which of those things is activating that. What are they responding to? Is it race? Is it the sexuality? Is it something else?
When it comes to the legal section of it, what is the point that Joey wants to prove?
Well, the legal part is a very interesting thing because, you know, Joey doesn't know much about the law. And I think, like a lot of people, until we're forced to know about the law, we don't know much. And we're a little adrift and we rely on what people tell us and what we try to read up and learn. And I think for a while, you know, he thinks he needs to, it's a custody suit. He's trying to find somebody. I need a lawyer who's going to help me get custody of this kid. But in the end, it ends up being much less about the law. And I don't want to give too much away, but
right.
it becomes a little more spiritual. And it's about the law as a tool more than the end and the arbiter, you know. And it's about how it can be a tool to reconciliation.
And do you think the movie's implicitly saying that if there were legal same-sex marriage, all of this would be a moot point?
I think some of the particular drama in this film wouldn't exist, you know, and certain aspects of life would not have these complications needlessly. But I think that the difference and how people respond to difference, how difference makes some people uncomfortable and how they need time to get used to it, I think that's always going to be around. You know, we see it with race. There's certain things you're not allowed to do according to the law based on race. But that doesn't mean everybody's comfortable with race. It just means our discomfort has different ways of expressing itself, and we have to deal with it in different ways. But I think that same issue, you know, if there is same-sex marriage, if that is legal, it still doesn't make everyone comfortable with it. And I think a lot of the same discomfort, it may not express itself in that arena, but it'll express itself somewhere else, and it needs to get dealt with.
Sebastian, so you were excellent as Chip. Is this the first film you've made?
Yes.
And have you done any acting before this film?
Yes, I did. This is the first film I've done, but I've done two more films.
Oh, since then you've filmed two more movies. What are they called?
One's called Deer Crossing, and one is called The Underground.
Wow, what kind of movie? Did you enjoy making this movie?
Yep.
And I couldn't, when I watched the movie, I wasn't actually sure if you were acting or whether it was actually a father and a son. So it was very, very realistic. Did you have to memorize lines?
Yeah, a lot.
A lot. And unlike most movies, this wasn't done in little clips. It was done in very, very long takes.
Yeah.
So you had to, did you do a lot of rehearsals?
Yeah, a lot of them.
And did you do any improvisation?
Yes, I did.
Can you tell me an example? Can you think of anything?
Like when we did the, when I did the auditions, we played a little game that like he, Patrick taught me Tennessee. Like I would say one, he would say two, and we in Tennessee we went up to 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah. 10 as in Tennessee as in 10?
So we played games with the accent to learn about his character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he taught me something I was supposed to say in Tennessee. Hi, my name's Chip. I live in Tennessee. I have no brothers, no sisters. Huh? And then there's more stuff. There's
you tell
more
the stuff story like, of your life.
Yeah, tell the story of your life in Tennessee.
Well, it came out totally believable.
Thanks.
And did you do any dubbing in the studio after? Did you go to record voice after?
Yeah.
And how'd you like that?
It's good.
What about one of the parts of your character? You were really into dragons.
Yeah.
Did that come from you? Did you make that up or did it come from the script?
It came from the script.
Oh, okay. But what are your feelings on dragons?
Well, I really like them too, so. I really like them too, Patrick. Patrick gave me like a book about dragons that there was a little like slots that you can take out like cardboard stuff that you can make a dragon with it. And it's really cool.
Oh, right on. Well, I'm speaking right now with Patrick Wang and Sebastian Baines about their new film In the Family. So, getting back to the film itself, I'm interested in the form you chose. It's quite unusual. For one thing, most movies, the camera takes the point of view of the main character, which would have been you, the principal character, and yet you deliberately pull the camera back and, which is very unusual, is you have the camera shoot your character from behind for some sequences. Yeah. So instead of, like normally you would just not be there and we'd make you up in our minds, but why did you choose this method?
Well, it was... I did like to shoot from the perspective of, so there's these characters that you only see for sometimes a scene or two, and I thought it was wonderful to get to stay on their perspective. And so one thing I tried to do was withhold Joey, seeing him from the front. There was something I liked about, I felt more immersed in their lives when I saw Joey as part of it. And this funny thing happens with Joey's head, because I have black hair, that compositionally I thought there were a lot of interesting things that I could do in breaking up space and in framing wide shots that could still feel very intimate because of how that negative space of the black head was carving out the frame.
And what was your choice for having the very long takes with, except for a few points where the camera was static, it never moved?
Yeah, most of the film, the camera doesn't move. We have about 300 shots and there's only 20 moving.
Yeah, shots. I know, so it's very rare, yeah.
Yeah, and we just kind of set out a rule at the beginning. It's like, okay, if we don't need to move the camera, we won't move the camera. And we were a little surprised how seldom we ended up moving the camera. But we're like, you know, it's actually very, we were enraptured still, even though, and it made it that much more interesting and special when it does move.
That's
and
right.
It becomes a much more powerful tool. And the same thing with the cut. If you don't do it all the time, we notice it.
I notice a lot were saved toward the most dramatic end scenes.
Exactly, and a lot of the close-ups, too.
That's right.
You don't get until the very end.
Is there a particular filmmaker that influenced you, like Ho Xiao Xian or Lars von Trier? Or...
That's interesting. The Ho Xiao Xian, I hadn't seen any of his films until afterwards.
Okay.
The same thing with Edward Yang and these yeah. Wonder, and Ozu.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
and these wonderful filmmakers that I, you know, that's been a wonderful consequence of all this.
I thought especially Hou Hsiao-hsien, just because he has these very long scenes with the camera for almost the entire movie, you know, in one place.
Yeah, I guess it's, I'll mention another director I really like, with Orson Welles. He said, you know, basically you have to feel like you're discovering everything for the first time, whether you are or not. And so I came in pretty uneducated in the history of film. I had seen enough. I was very inspired by Scenes from a Marriage. How I feel like you watch a good film and you watch a film like that, that's so densely designed and beautifully performed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a library of film. You know, it's like a couple years of graduate school. You learn so much.
Right.
Yeah.
And what caused you, or what inspired you to make this particular film? Did it start with a script or an idea?
It started with this image. I mean, when I'm out there playing soccer with Chip and Cody, this idea of these two dads playing soccer with their kid, I don't know where it came from, but it came into my head. And I just started wondering about these people's lives. And eventually, yeah, it kind of took over. You're like, what are their challenges? What do they deal with? How'd they get there? So it's that curiosity and that initial image.
And as I can hear by your voice right now, that the voice used in the movie was an accent that you learned.
Yeah.
Both of you, actually.
Yeah.
But what was the idea by setting it in Tennessee, in the Deep South, when I think it was shot in New York, right?
Yeah, we shot in Yonkers, New York. And that's a great question. And I think that there's a combination of things in this film. You know, it's the South, it's with the race, with class, with this same-sex couple, and with this kid. I think there's going to be, I wanted something unfamiliar for whoever watches it. You know, for me, there was a lot unfamiliar about this family. And I think the South adds to that, you know, and it's a challenge for some people who may have certain ideas about the South. And I think it is a very surprising and diverse place, like anywhere.
Right.
You know, and I don't think you see that very often in film.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it surprised people that we have, so far, we've played the best in the South. Our longest runs have been in the South.
Hmm. Well, no, I mean, it seemed, it put a different, it wasn't the hick or the Ku Klux Klan. There are a lot of stereotypes that are thrown to movies about the South. This was a more of a revealing
view. Yeah, I think you can find, and this is pretty much anywhere you go, you can find just this range of people, depending on what little slice of that community you walk into.
So was there any personal experience that you brought into the film?
I think the personal experience came from just little pieces of people I knew. Like my father, you know, there's lots of elements of my father and Joey,
mm-hmm.
in his generosity with people, his curiosity about people and his patience. But I like making up as much as I can, because I feel like you can't help the parts of you that come into the movie anyway. So I tried to, with the characters, with the events, and with the facts, make up as much as I could.
And how about you, Sebastian? Was there any part, when you played the part of Chip, did you bring any of your own experience into it?
Well, because it was my first time doing a movie, I did a lot more, so the stuff that I learned and my dad helped me with the script a little bit, I put into making a good movie for Patrick.
Oh, that's good. And did you ever think of things in your real life and said, maybe I'll do it this way, like it's sort of like when I'm at home with my dad?
Yeah.
And how are you enjoying the touring with the film?
Well, I really like it a lot, because I get to see Patrick and Trevor and other people that I never knew, and I got to get meet new friends.
Mm-hmm. So that's great.
It was really cool.
Right on. Finally, do you have anything else you'd like to tell potential viewers about this film?
I think the thing I would say is it's not a typical film. And it's not a typical experience. And the things that usually bring people to the theater aren't quite there. You know, there's no major movie star. It hasn't won this major festival. But you will be rewarded with his experience. You take a chance on it, and it will be something you don't forget. You know, and I've seen it touch audiences very deeply in this way that sticks with them. And there's something about being in a theater and sharing it with people that I hope people will take advantage of. It's a beautiful 35mm print that I hope people will go have this experience. Share the film with us in a movie theater.
Great. I thought it was I thought it was an excellent movie. So thanks a lot, Sebastian, Patrick. Thanks for talking with me. Okay.
Thank you.
No pleasure. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Patrick Wang and Sebastian Baines about their new film, In the Family, that opens in Toronto today, June 1st. Thanks so much for talking with me. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and my website, culturalmining.com.